starting at verse number 1. This must have been quite a day, a very somber day, a day that I really believe Jesus was dreading. I know we like to put him as, and he was in my world, the biggest superhero that ever walked. He's bigger than, you know, for all of us older folks, he was bigger than Superman and Spider-Man and all those superheroes that we grew up with. Jesus was in a whole nother level and a whole nother class. Jesus was the supreme sacrifice. It says in verse number 1 of chapter number 22, it says, "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, the surname Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad, and the covenant to give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go, prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. They said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you enter into the city, there shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house where he entereth in. And he shall say unto the goodman, ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber? And where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you, notice this, before I suffer. Now I made reference that he was dreading this day, but yet looking forward to it at the same time. He was knowing he was going to suffer. He was going to bleed. Anybody that tells you that when they nailed the nails in his hands, it didn't hurt, they're telling you a big story, a big lie. When they beat him, he felt every beating that he took. When they took the cat of nine tails and they ripped his back, as they would intertwine those strips with pieces of glass, and it would dig in and it would rip the flesh of his back. He felt those things. No doubt there was probably some tears of pain shedding down his eyes. But keep in mind at the same time, it was just as much pain to know that you were separated from him, and this was why he was doing it. There was a bittersweetness to what was taking place here. As we read on, it says, For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. Notice what he was saying was, I'm not going to have opportunity to eat or drink probably from here on out. His body was going to be weak. It was going to be tired. He said, until the kingdom have come, and he took the bread and he gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. Notice. So what does the bread represent? He said, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. You may be seated. What Jesus was saying at this moment was, this is the beginning of the end. This was taking up the last moments, the last hours, until finally he was going to be taken in the garden. He was going to be smitten, spat upon, bruised, denied anything that you could imagine, humiliated to the lowest of levels in their day. It was going to be one thing after another, and it was going to happen very quickly. They would push because of the Passover. There was certain things, and according to the law, that someone couldn't hang on a cross until daybreak. There was all different rituals, if you want to call them, that these were not Roman rituals. These were Jewish rituals. Jesus was of the Jewish lineage. It was not the Romans that were intending to crucify him. It was the Jews that was pushing for the crucifixion of Jesus. The very ones that we see as blood brothers, the people that was of his very dissension, were the ones that were clamoring to have Jesus killed. Now that is a very low state to be in, when your own people are the ones that are trying to crucify you. But Jesus knew that. It said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. It was very own that clamored for his death to have him killed. But he was all a part of a supreme sacrifice plan that we still yet today enjoy the benefits of. It was the start of the New Testament church. I find it interesting that Jesus references that this is the cup of the New Testament of my blood. This is not the Old Testament, but now, hear me out, you that are a little bit more astute in the Bible scholars, I never really noticed him saying this until today as I was studying when I was referencing this. But it said this is a New Testament. The Old Testament is gone, but now this is something that the lambs in the Old Testament couldn't do. The blood of goats and sheep can't redeem the sins of mankind. It can't. Now, if you think in the Old Testament, the piles and piles of sin that was piled up, generation after generation after generation, until this moment, they were still there. There was nothing that could remove those sins. They were, Bible says, they were simply rolled ahead and rolled ahead and rolled ahead. And if you could imagine the mountain of sin that was piled up, waiting for this moment and this day. Now this day was coming to pass. And it was good and it was bad all at the same time. It was a bittersweet. It was a medicine for the soul of man, but yet it was a bitter pill for his flesh to swallow. It was not a fun time. It was going to hurt. It was going to be trying upon his emotions. And some of us think we've been through things in our life. We've been through roller coaster rides. But I assure you, none of us has ever been through anything like Jesus was going through as he sat at this table this night. And he told them, this is the last time. There's not another time that I'm going to sit at a table with you. I won't drink of the vine, because here on out, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but I've got a hunch he probably was fasting at that point. Why? Because he said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. You know what made that flesh weak? It was because he had pushed himself aside and said, flesh, you will not control. I must be submissive to the Spirit of God. And he told those disciples what's going to take place in the next few days. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy, but it must be done. And just so you don't forget what's going to happen, I want you to take what we're going to partake of today and remember this. Do this often. Do this in a regular basis. Try to keep this at the forefront of your mind so you never forget this moment, that you never forget this day. You know, it is something that this generation takes communion so lightly that makes me nervous. I don't believe biblically Jesus intended us this to be an everyday thing where it just becomes just something we do or just something we just automatically do. But this is something that should be taken very seriously. It should not be taken lightly, but it is something that we should do with reverence and respect and honor and dignity. Why? Because that's the way he died. He died an honorable death. He died with dignity. He died with respect, not for his flesh, but for yours. He went through with the sacrifice, not because of him. He could have carried on and went on and never paid that sacrifice for you. And to my opinion, this is Brent theology, it wouldn't have affected him in one bit because he was still God. He still had control of the devil. But you meant enough to him that he would robe himself in flesh, come and shed his blood on Calvary so that he could have a relationship with you again, that he would feel the pains, walk this life, walk this earth, and feel the things that you and I sometimes feel, just so we would know we didn't have to walk this road alone. He knew what our pain was like. He knew what sickness was like. He knew what loss was like. Jesus experienced those things. And even to the day that he had to go to that cross, he knew what it was to pick up his cross and carry it until finally he nearly fell to the ground. And there was one named Simon that carried his cross for him. He knew what it was to be so exhausted. Anybody ever feel that way sometimes? Like you can't pick up your feet. Like you just can't get up off the ground another day. I'm here to tell you, Jesus demonstrated how to conquer that devil. He showed us, if you're willing, there will come a point when you can't carry it anymore. And there will be someone, and it was the name of Jesus Christ, that will pick up that load and help carry your cross. And he showed what it was like to get to that point and still follow through with the sacrifice. That's not easy to do. We find reference of this same indication in the scriptures in the book of, I done printed that one first, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and just a few short scriptures, 23 through 29. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. He said, "For I have received the Lord, which is also I delivered unto you, that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death." Hear this? "You do show the Lord's death till he comes." So those that say communion is not for us today are just as wrong as those that want to take it every 5 minutes. You have to have a balance in everything that we do. So you say, how often should we do this? I try to do it spread out enough so that we don't take it lightly, so that we do have an honor and a reverence for what we are doing here today. But then he goes on to say, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now those are very strong words, and this is the one thing that, in instruction that I will give you in taking part of communion. You say, should I take communion or should I not? And if you don't want to take communion, it's perfectly okay. Nobody will embarrass you. You can slip out into the back room and hang out back there or sit in your pew. It's purely up to you. But I believe if you are walking with God to the best of your abilities, You may not understand everything. You may not know everything like Pastor knows it. But if you are walking with God to the best of your abilities and you have found a place of repentance before you take communion, that's the most important thing. You find a place to say, God, I may not understand everything. I may not understand everything that's going on, but really my heart does want to serve you, God. I really do want to walk with you. And this is where these children come in, and they may not understand anything but everything, but if you truly have a love for Jesus in your heart, you really want to live for God, this is something that allows God to see your heart. And when we repent, all we are doing is kneeling down and saying, God. Now, some of us, if we listed everything we've done wrong, we'd be there for weeks, wouldn't we? Pastor would be there for a month and a half. Just for every time he got mad at Sister Smith, wouldn't he? But no, we kneel down and we pray, simply stating, God, I want you to take my life, and I now want to walk with God. I want to serve you, and I want to trade my life for yours. And I want you to forgive me for anything that I've done in my life that maybe, God, I didn't even know what it was. Did you know we sometimes sin and don't even know we sin? Sometimes we sin and we don't even think about sinning. We've done it so much, we just do it. Think about the times you referenced saying something to someone and said it in the wrong tone and you shouldn't have done it, but you talk to them so much, you're so comfortable with them, you just lash out at them. And you go on about your business as if it didn't happen, but really that was a sinful act. We want to think of sin as we take a gun and we go shoot somebody. Now that's sin, right? But the Bible said the tongue is just as deadly as a sword. You can kill somebody just as real with your tongue as you can with a gun. So we must be careful. So when you go into a time of repentance before we take communion, that is your time to take your communion, go to one of the chairs, go to a corner somewhere, wherever you want to pray. I'm going to ask, just for the sake of what we're doing, that we try to use the pews today rather than the platform, only because there's not room for everybody to get up here, and the color of the grape juice we're using, if we spill it on the white carpet, is going to be a mess. So let's use the pews if we can. And what we will do is we will take a few moments, and we're going to allow families to do this together. Not we're all going to be at in the same vicinity, same time. But if you have children, grandchildren, brothers or sisters, I want you to bring them with you. Help them with the drink. And the unleavened bread. We did buy the unleavened bread. It's not a cracker. It's an actual unleavened bread. And the juice that we did use only has natural sugars in it. There's no added sugar. It's only the sugar of the actual fruit. So any of you that have issues with that, we tried to be cognizant of that, and it's only a little bit. So when we do take, I will ask you, all the families, to come together. And I asked the musicians to split. Brother Smith has a song that he is going to play so we can all participate together. I think that will be even better. And so we won't need musicians until at the very end. So we'll be able to do it all together. But when we all go back to our seats, we'll have some music, but it'll be a time for you to then kneel down. It's okay to explain to the children what you're doing. Some people will pray first. That's what I recommend. Spend some time in prayer with God. Moms, dads, let those children hear you repent. Did you hear that? Let those children hear you repent, because that's how they learn to repent. Jesus, forgive me of anything in my life, and help me to no longer walk that way or live that way, and forgive me of those things. So I'm going to ask, in fact, let's all stand. I'm going to ask my wife to assist me. She said, I don't want to do this. I said, honey, this is part of pastorship. And I believe this is something that is, as a pastor, that we should serve. And because I believe that's ethical and it's right. And she is just as much a part of the pastorship of this church as I am. She is part of my body, flesh and bone. We are one. So if you're ill with her, you're ill with me, in Jesus' name. So she's going to come at this time. I would like my daughter to come at this time and assist us with this. She doesn't get to escape out of this. If she can serve the, why don't you let your mom serve the liquid, you serve the other ones. If you want to come through the line, we will start over here with this family. If you want to work your way across and go ahead and take that off. Be very, very careful if you can. Once you have spent some time in prayer and repentance, then it is okay for you to go ahead and take your communion and then spend some time with God thanking him for what he did for you. It's no longer time to repent. After you take communion, then it's time to give God praise and worship for what he has done for you.
Thinking about eternity,
I wonder if we could give some praise and worship for what he'd done for us on Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hers was slain. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
The old rugged cross, so despised by
suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Verse number 4. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Think about this. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory for ever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Falling in love with Jesus, oh, falling in love with Jesus, oh, falling in love with Jesus, it's the best thing I've ever done. In his arms I feel protected, in his arms never disconnected. Oh, in his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Well, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, love with Jesus, oh, falling in love with Jesus, it's the best thing I've ever done. Wonder if we could stand all across this place here in closing. I know this was a little bit of a unique service, but I believe this is something that these young people and children will remember and they need to think of often. I think it's very important that you don't forget what Jesus Christ did for you. And once again, if you've never been baptized, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, this is another representation of what Jesus did. And the reason we're baptized in Jesus' name is because he's the one that shed his blood on Calvary for us. And that is the atonement for the sins of your life. That is the atonement for the sins of your life. So if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, make arrangements to get that done. Don't put it off. When you feel God tugging on your spirit, that's the time to do that. Whether we do it in church with everyone else or if we do it privately, just the important thing that it's done. It doesn't matter that everybody sees. It matters that he knows. And you know that if he comes back, you're ready to go. That's the important thing in Jesus' name. I believe we got a baby, or not a baby, a couple of young ladies are going to be dedicated in the next couple of weeks. We got also Easter. Also on the business meeting tomorrow night, it's okay if young people come, if your older ones are coming. I believe it's good for the children, young people, to see how church business is done. I think that's a good thing. So don't hesitate to bring if you have, now the children, you can bring them, but we'll have a spot over in the corner so we can try to have the business without distractions. But the children, none of them can vote, but at least they could learn how a church operates and how business is done within the church. Those are good things. I raise my children taking them to those things because that's how they become the next generation church. And I think that's important. So any of you young people that want to come, it would be my honor for you to come and see how that's done. I wonder if we can close our eyes now in closing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to remember one time what you did for us one more time. Today is not just a normal Sunday. This is a special Sunday that we do once a year to keep the specialness of it, to keep the meaningness of what you did, because things can become just too common with us. And we don't ever want this to be common. We want to keep this close to our hearts, and we want to keep you close to us at all times, God. And we thank you for allowing us to do this, because if you hadn't shed your blood, God, we wouldn't have this moment. We wouldn't know what it was like to be saved. We wouldn't know what it's like to feel your presence. We wouldn't know what it's like to have a hope beyond this world if it weren't for what you've done. And we're asking you to give us wisdom over the next couple of days and decisions that need to be made. And I need your help, God. This church needs your wisdom because we don't want to walk on our own flesh and have our own ideas, but we want to make sure everything we do is in your will. And if it's not your will, God, close this door. But if it is your will, give us the faith to walk through it and strengthen our minds and our thoughts and the things that we need to have wisdom in the next few days and weeks. And help me as a pastor, God, to walk with wisdom and faith, but give me the strength to do those things. And I need it more than anything else. Bless each family, every home. Bless their finances, their children. Bring us back safely tomorrow night and then again on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name we pray. We give you all glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hug your brother.